Hello, fight fans, and welcome to another edition of Corner Advice. I'm your host, Tommy Z, back with another UFC breakdown. We had a week off last week, and actually, we have a week off after this card. So, somewhat of a nice little break for us. I do enjoy the time off, but I also don't enjoy the time off at the same time. I do like winning money on the UFC. I like watching the UFC. There's no contender series this week, so really won't have any UFC to watch after this card, but I believe there is a Bellator card. No, I think there's a Bellator card this week, but either way, who cares? No UFC after this week. We'll have a week off again. But hopefully we'll keep the good times rolling. Last card was pretty solid on the betting end. Went 3-3 on dogs. Cash was good. So overall, not bad. Definitely better on the betting end than it was on DK, just because my single entry, I had, 3-3 in dogs, and two of my losing dogs were in my single entry lineup, which was never fun. But we move on, and hopefully we have a good one this week. This is, I don't know. It's one of those cards that it feels like I have a pretty good read on it, but got a lot of not huge favorites, but decent size favorites that, some there are some questions with couple fights where you have very good submission guys or knockout guys that can really swing the fight. But overall, I mean, it's a UFC card. They're never easy until it's over and hindsight's 20/20 and you say, yeah, that was easy. But in this case, this is what I call a comb over card. I'll probably look it over again tomorrow night after weigh-ins, just to double check everything. I'm not huge into making changes. Usually I burn myself when I do that, but this is one that I kind of want to look at, watch weigh-ins and double check everything and make sure I'm comfortable with where I'm at. But we've got 13 fights on the docket, so we might as well just jump right into it. There's no sense in me rambling about nonsense. You guys are here to listen to me talk about fights. So that's what we're gonna do. First fight of the night. Actually, I think my order, I may be a little bit out of order, so I don't know if this is actually the first fight of the night. But first fight I have written down here is Tabitha Ricci taking on Jessica Penne. Ricci, she has one loss against Manon Fiorot in her debut. She is a good fighter. She's a little bit smaller, which does worry me a little bit against Penne, who's a little bit taller, longer. She is a decent grappler. She likes to grapple. Ricci likes to grapple. She's landed a lot of takedowns in recent fights. She's constantly going for the takedown. She's constantly looking to grapple, but she will mix it up on the feet, which I do like. Forward pressure is good. So I like Ricci here. It does worry me a little bit because Penne is a solid grappler. She is a vet. So a lot of times we see the vet pull through in this situation. But I have to go with the more active fighter. I have to go with the fighter who, on paper, is going to be the more aggressive grappler, landing the takedowns, doing more on the feet. That's Tabitha Ricci. So, low level women's MMA, always a little bit scary. But I think as long as she can land the takedowns, she can keep herself safe. She's never been submitted. Anybody can be submitted at any point, but I don't know. I think Ricci, she's pretty strong for her size. And she does keep herself safe on the ground, so I think she'll be in good shape there. Our next fight is in the heavyweight division. We have Alexia Linick taking on Alir Latifi. Latifi's basically just a bowling ball. The guy's, I don't know, 5'8", 5'9". Not somebody you typically see in the heavyweight division, but he's just a ball of muscle. Power in his hands. Very tough, durable guy. Never been submitted, which I do like here because Olenek's path to victory is going to be by submission. That's how he wins his fights. Latifi really just has to stay safe for the first round. Like I said, he's never been submitted. He has no neck, which helps. He has a giant bowling ball head, no neck, gigantic shoulders. Harder to get choked when you look like that. I just see this fight as it goes into the second and possibly third round. We know Olenek does tend to gas out. He's getting older. He's had a million fights. He does the same thing in every fight. He comes out hot. Even on the feet, he'll throw big punches. He'll go crazy. Look for the smish, look for the takedown, go for the submission, kind of burn himself out. That's just his fight style. I don't see it changing now. Guy's got like 70 fights, I don't know, 80 fights, whatever he has. So I expect him to slow down a little bit. Latifi, just be his normal bulldog self. Go forward, throw big punches. I would assume at some point he probably gets Olenek out of there just because Olenek will be tired. Latifi will be throwing bombs. It could get ugly. It could get very sloppy. But I just think as the fight goes along, Latifi's going to be the one who looks better. And he's going to get the job done, whether it's by finish or decision. Our next fight is in the light heavyweight division. We have Felipe Lins taking on Maxim Grishin. Just not a big Lins guy. I just had high hopes for him coming into the UFC. He burned me a couple times. He won his last fight, but it was against Marcin Prachniau. Not a great fight. He was a little bit more active with the wrestling, which is what ultimately got him the win. Prachniau looked a little bit tired in the second and third rounds. Still overall relatively close fight if you really go back and watch it. Maxim Grishin, just a bigger guy, taller guy, good striking, good kickboxing. He can be wrestled a little bit, but Lin's wrestling isn't really all that great. He was just able to take down Prachniau a couple times, and even when he did, it wasn't all that effective. And Prachniau is pretty much just a straightforward zombie-type puncher, karate-type guy. So I just think Maxim Grishin, not the best fighter in the world, but he has the style to beat Felipe Lins. He's got the better striking, the more polished striking. Power-wise, I think they're kind of on the same level. And I don't know, I just think Grishin gets the job done here. Next fight is in the middleweight division. We have Brennan Allen taking on Christoph Jocko. This is another fight, man, where Jocko is very good. He's good on the feet. He's accurate. He keeps a pretty good pace. Doesn't really gas out. Doesn't really slow down. He just kind of stays steady. Brennan Allen, I would say, is a more dangerous striker. Maybe a little bit faster. I think they're pretty close on the feet. Grappling, it's pretty close too. Jocko is a pretty solid grappler himself. I just think Allen's a little bit more opportunistic. I think he's a little bit more dangerous. At his best, I think he has a better chance to find a finish. I think over the course of a three-round fight, you know, if it does go three rounds, obviously Jocko just stays consistent. So that does worry me a little bit about the decision. But I don't know. I just think Allen in this spot, maybe a little bit faster on the feet, maybe a little bit more power, a little bit better finishing ability. And he's a slight dog in this one right now. So I don't hate it. Again, I think it's a close fight. Really 50-50 fight to me. But I just think Allen, at his best, wins this fight. And if he shows up and he's flat or, you know, just gets clipped with something, which I don't see happening. But I just think Allen, at his best, he wins this fight. Even though I do like Jocko, I think he's a good fighter. This is just, it's Allen here for me. Next fight is in the bantamweight division. Randy Costa taking on Guido Cannetti. Man, you know, I love Costa. Just, he's explosive. He's dangerous. He throws a sweet high kick. Very good striker. His volume is insane early, but that has cost him in fights, recently. But you look at who he lost to, a guy like Adrian Yanez. He was actually beating Adrian Yanez pretty well most of the third round with a striking. And then just slowed down into the second round. And if you guys can hear my cat, I apologize. I don't know what she's doing. But, holy Hannah, hold on one second. I'm going to pause this. All right, we're back. My cat was carrying something around, and for some reason she likes to announce her presence while she's doing that. So hopefully she doesn't start up again. I record this in the basement, try to avoid the animals, but she finds her way around. Anyway, biggest fear with Costa is that he slows after a very quick start. But I think, you know, we've seen the last two fights, maybe a bit of a learning experience for him. So hopefully he's learned from that. The other thing about this fight is Guido is he's dangerous. He's fast. He's sharp, but he's very hittable. And if Costa's hitting him early and often, Costa can get him out of there. And I think that's probably what's going to happen. Again, it's a scary fight. And there are definite question marks when it comes to Costa. But on paper, this kid has all the talent in the world. You hope he's learned from his mistakes. And if he hasn't, then I guess he's just a burned out prospect already. But I think this is an opportunity for him to get back on the winning track, potential KO, and I think he gets the job done here. Our next fight is in the women's featherweight division. We have Chelsea Chandler taking on Yulia Stolyarenko. Chandler making her debut. She's fighting out of Stockton, so trains with the Diaz boys. Cesar Gracie, purple belt, which, you know, doesn't sound great, but she is very strong. She comes forward. She likes to grapple. Her jiu-jitsu is very good. And against Stolyarenko, the main thing that she has to worry about is the armbar. Stolyarenko is gritty. She'll throw down, but she does tend to take a lot of damage. And her one path to victory has always been her armbar. I think Chandler is too good with her jiu-jitsu, her wrestling. She keeps herself safe, and I think she'll be fine in this situation. I think this is very low-level women's MMA. Stolyarenko is, I think she's got one win in the UFC. I think she's 1-4. She won her last fight by armbar. That one was put up on a silver platter for us. So that one was fully expected against Jessica Rose Clark, who had just lost by armbar. And, you know, literally the fight happened almost identical to Rose Clark's previous fight. So that was a nice, you know, softball for us. this one, I don't think is a softball either way. But I like Chandler, even though she is making her debut. Does worry me a little bit. But I just don't think Stolyarenko is all that good. And Chandler is just gritty. She's got that Stockton style. I mean, she likes to fight. She'll throw down. She'll make it an ugly fight. She is a stronger wrestler, stronger grappler. I think she gets the job done. Next fight, we have Jesse Ronson taking on Joaquin Silva. I did not write down the weight class. I do believe this is in the lightweight division, 155 pounds. Ronson is another guy that I just don't like. Normally, in these situations where there's a fighter that I'm just done with, I just don't like, I don't trust, I don't want to bet them. I usually hammer their opponent. In this case, Silva, he leaves a lot to be desired as well. He's a good striker. So he has good power, but he's been knocked out in his last two fights. So there's risk there. I just think Ronson, he got busted for PEDs. He did an 18-month suspension, came back, did not look good. He didn't do anything. He just kind of stood there like a stick in the mud. That's exactly what I expected him to do. So, you know, I don't know, unless something drastically changes here. Again, I expect similar situation. Silva can be a little bit reckless, which could be scary. But if Ronson's just kind of standing there, not doing a whole lot, Silva has solid power. He throws a lot of spinning attacks. He's very dangerous with his own striking. And I just don't think, I just don't think Ronson is very good. So rolling with Silva here, not a huge confidence fight. both guys, massive question marks, like with a lot of these fighters on this card. But I just cannot pick Ronson in a fight. It's Joaquin Silva. I just think he's a step ahead. And I don't know. Since Ronson got busted for the PEDs, he's literally done nothing. So until otherwise, I'm just going to fade him. Next fight is in the lightweight division. Now, a lot of question marks with this fight, but not because I don't like the two fighters. I just think both guys are extremely dangerous. I think both guys match up well with each other in the striking department. Mike Davis, the last time we saw him, he just put on a fight of the night type war, high volume striking. He mixes in the wrestling. He's local to me. He has trained right over in Latham, which is about 10 minutes from my house. So some of my friends know him and have trained with him. So, you know, we got some local ties, but really is a good fighter, durable kid, very good high level kickboxing. He's willing to throw down. And what I do like about him in this matchup is his willingness to grapple. He's not just going to go out and look for takedowns, although possibly, I don't even know if I said who he's fighting. He's fighting, now I can't even say his name. Borishev. We'll just say Borishev. I can't say his first name. And I'm trying to hurry along here. So fighting Borishev, also known as Slava Claus, who is also a very good kickboxer. But the reason why I like Davis in this matchup is because he will look for takedowns in all of his fights. He doesn't necessarily chase them. This is a fight where he maybe should chase a takedown because Slava Claus is dangerous on the feet. And we saw him get absolutely dominated on the ground in his last fight. He put up a little bit of a fight in the first round for the first couple minutes. But once he was taken down a couple times, he was taken down over and over and over and over again. And it just became easier and he was held down. So there's a clear path for Mike Davis in this one. Wrestle. And Mike Davis can wrestle. Now he can't strike with him and he probably will strike with him for a decent majority of this fight. But when the going gets tough, all he has to do is shoot for a takedown or just pin him up against the cage. Keep going for takedowns, just make it ugly. Borishev slows down a little bit, Davis lands a couple takedowns. That'll be the path. Otherwise, I think it'll be close if they just keep it standing. But again, I really like Davis. I like his volume. I like his toughness. He's got more UFC experience. So I like Davis here. He's a favorite. I was hoping that the odds would be a little bit closer, but not a massive favorite. So like Mike Davis, like the grappling, like the striking, and we move on. Our next fight is in the bantamweight division. We have Daniel Santos taking on John Castaneda. I was very impressed with Santos in his debut. He comes forward. He's nonstop going forward. He is dangerous. He does throw some, spinning attacks, which are dangerous. He has good striking, good power. Problem with him, and I think it can get better over time, but I think it's going to be a problem in this fight as well, is his footwork is not great. He tends to chase a little bit too much. And when he really sits down on his punches, he gets out of position a lot. John Castaneda is a guy who has very good footwork. He's very consistent, very durable guy, good striker, very good counter striker. And when he does choose to go forward, he puts on a pretty good pace and he can melt guys. So I like Castaneda here. I think his footwork's just a little bit better. I think his experience level is a little bit better. Just a solid, really overall good fighter, composed fighter. And I just think footwork is going to be the key for him in this fight. He's going to be able to control the pace, control the distance, dictate the pace. And I think he gets the job done here. Next fight, pretty lopsided one. We have Jay Ellis making his debut against Sadiq Youssef. Youssef's a very good fighter. He's been around. He's been in the UFC for quite some time now. You know, he's got two losses on his record. Just overall solid. Last loss coming to Arnold Allen. There's no shame in that. Taking on Jay Ellis. Ellis seems to have some power. He definitely seems raw. He's got a lot to go to improve to be on the level with somebody like Yusuf Salal. I thought it was funny. I don't really think this is an indicator of the fight at all, but a few fights ago, he fought a guy with a record of 16-106, which is insane. I think that might be the most insane record I've seen, because generally speaking, when you see somebody with 100 losses, they almost have no wins. This dude had 16 wins. So it's like, okay, this guy is a can. He's basically like the Brooklyn Brawler. He goes out there to lose. Old WWF reference for those of you who don't know who the Brooklyn Brawler is. But he goes out. I mean, he's basically, I'm sure the local coaches and all the local gyms just call him up and say, hey, I got a fighter who needs to fight. And he just goes out there and throws down. So it was interesting. I love when you see these records of these dudes who are just willing to get in there and scrap. But again, I mean, that's the type of guy Ellis is fighting, you know, low level competition. Really hasn't been tested as of yet. Making your debut against Sadiq Youssef, not an easy task. And, you know, Youssef is -1200, I believe, right now. So if you wanted to have some fun with this fight, maybe throw a few bucks on Jay Ellis by knockout. See if he catches something crazy. Probably get like +800, +900 odds on that. But other than that, I think Youssef, he rolls. And I think as it gets into the second and third rounds, I think he just pieces him up and probably gets him out of there. Next fight is in the bantamweight division. We have Trevin Jones taking on Hione Barcelos. Really, Barcelos, the more talented guy, should get the job done here. He got outpaced in his last fight, but I don't think Trevin Giles is really the type of guy to put a good pace on. And Trevin Giles has been a guy who, for the most part, in all of his fights, takes a lot of damage and survives. I don't know if he can hold up to the damage that Barcelos will put out. Because even the fact that Barcelos got outpaced in his last fight, he still threw an extremely high amount of strikes. And he was still landing big shots. Even in the third round, when it was pretty clear that his opponent, Victor Henry, who just came in on an absolute tear and probably fought the best fight of his life. I mean, if you go back and when I broke that fight down, I knew the kid was a good fighter, but I've never seen him do anything like that. So it was like he was making his debut, and some people just rise to the occasion. And then Victor Henry did that on that night. Even at the end of the fight, when you could tell, like, okay, this kid's just going to be a step ahead the whole time, Barcelos was still landing some pretty good shots. And there's no way Trevin Jones puts on a pace like Victor Henry did. And unless Barcelos just has completely fallen off a cliff, he should win this fight. He's faster, more powerful. He has good grappling. He just has all the intangibles. So basically, unless, you know, he just looks out of shape or something like that, which I don't really expect, I think Barcelos gets the job done here. Our co-main event is in the welterweight division. We have Randy Brown taking on Francisco Trinaldo. Again, like, Trinaldo's tough because he's always, in every fight, he kind of makes it close. I just think the size, the length of Randy Brown, the jab of Randy Brown is going to play a huge role in this fight. And Brown's always, he's got more volume. compared to Trinaldo. Both guys relatively durable. Both guys, you know, veterans of the UFC. They've both been around a while, had a lot of fights. I just think the volume and the length is going to play a big factor here for Brown, and I think he gets the job done. Our main event is in the, what is this, the strawweight division. We have Mackenzie, the women's strawweight. Well, there is no men's strawweight. Mackenzie Dern taking on Yan Jianan. And this is going to be a fun fight. Jianan is a good striker, has pretty good volume. She, previous like three or four fights ago, she was really throwing heavy, heavy volume out there. It's kind of dwindled a little bit, but I guess, you know, that'll happen as you get to the higher level opponents. So I think in this fight, it's a good opportunity for her to probably throw some pretty good volume. It's a 5-round fight. The problem with her, though, is she can be taken down, and Mackenzie Dern is very dangerous on the ground. I think if Jianan keeps it standing, especially early, it's going to be a problem for Dern. But Dern is tough. She can get beat up, and she's not going to quit. And I just feel like over 5 rounds, there's going to be 2 to 3 opportunities where she gets the fight on the ground. And when the fight's on the ground, she is very dangerous. She can win the fight at any point. Her jiu-jitsu is just on another level. So really, I think this is a pretty close fight. I think it's going to be a fun one. I do think it's probably going to go into the later rounds unless Dern can find a finish, you know, a submission early. But I think Jianan's just a little bit better than that. I don't think she's just going to get taken down right off the bat. She will put up a fight. But I do think there is an advantage on the ground when it comes to Dern. So I have to side with the grappler. I do like the fight. I think it's going to be a fun fight. I do think it's going to be a pretty good volume fight. I just think Dern gets the job done. So that's it. I think we've got 13 fights. Again, you're going to want to check you're going to want to read the article on Gup's Corner Friday night. That's going to have my cash score, my prize picks, everything finalized. But keep up with me on Twitter. At TommyZ_MMA. Same thing on Instagram, basically everywhere. At TommyZ_MMA. TikTok, same thing. I've been posting my bets everywhere. Like to just give a full, my biggest confident bets. I just like to put everything out there, show you my units that I'm putting on these fights so you kind of have an idea where I really feel confident. If you after reading the article and listening to the podcast and looking at the units that I'm willing to bet on these fighters, I hope that it gives everybody a pretty good idea of where I feel confident and where I don't. Because, I have to pick I have to pick every fight. Just because I picked a fighter to win doesn't mean you should go and put a lot of money on that fighter. I've had people that I know hit me up. Oh, this guy sucks, blah, blah, blah. I put this much money on him. I thought you said he was good. I was like, no, I didn't say that. I picked him, but I have to pick all these fights. So I like to just put everything out there so you can see where my confidence lies. And just because I picked a fighter, it doesn't mean you have to put any kind of money on him. Doesn't mean you have to play him on DraftKings. Doesn't mean you have to bet him, put him in a parlay. It's just, maybe sprinkle on him. But either way, I'm just, I try to put everything out there to give you all the information, show you all my confidence or my lack thereof. And hopefully at the end of the night, it plays out for us. But again, check out my social medias, check out gupscorner.com. We're looking to make some money this week. Hopefully we have a nice big win, go into the bye week. And then I believe we have the pay-per-view after that. So that should be fun. So I guess with that all being said, I will leave you guys to your betting and good luck on Saturday.